Welcome to Type Tune Tent. I'm Tom Kranz. What's your story? That's the question asked by Lauren Reisner, a lawyer-turned-writer whose new specialty is ghostwriting stories about real people searching for the right words. Lauren's empathy is informed by 20 years of representing disabled people as an attorney working for the Social Security Administration, a self-described trauma-informed interviewer. Let's find out what that means. And I'm joined by Lauren Reisner from her palatial estate in Yardley, Pennsylvania. Yardley is a suburb of my hometown, Philadelphia, so I kind of know where you are. Beautiful Bucks County, PA. It's lovely this time of year. Lauren, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. Please, how are you?
I'm great. I'm pleased to meet you. Lauren has a really a great story that's perfect for this podcast. I look for people who kind of started down a career or a path and then suddenly realize that they can be creative. They discover this in all kinds of different places. Sometimes they discover it under layers of denial, trauma, addiction. In your case, you had a career that was, you know, you were an attorney for 20 years. And then, I don't know, did you wake up one day and decide you could actually write, or was that a slow process? Before you get to that, tell me first about where you're from and how you got to be a lawyer.
Okay. So where I'm from is a complicated question. I moved every 4 years growing up. I did kind of ping pong between Florida and New Orleans, North Florida to New Orleans, South Florida back to New Orleans, and then up to the Philly area because of my dad's job. But New Orleans has always been home for me. That's where I feel like is home, and I love being there. And as far as how I became a lawyer, it's essentially I graduated undergrad with a psych degree and didn't know what to do with myself. And everybody told me I should be a lawyer, so I went to law school, which is not a great reason to go to law school. I do not.
Everybody told you should be a lawyer? Who is everybody?
Family, friends, and not even because I'm argumentative. I don't know why. I'm pretty conflict avoidant, to be perfectly honest.
Do you have lawyers in the family?
Nope. I think my dad just really wanted a lawyer in the family, so he pushed hard. And then other people just, I guess because I like to talk, I don't know. But I ended up with a minor in legal studies, and I didn't know what to do when I graduated. And so I went to law school. And then while I was there, I was kind of heading towards dependency law, which is kids in the foster system. But I graduated in 2008, which was when the recession hit, and every job I had lined up had hiring freezes. Mm. So I had to pivot, and I went with the good old throw everything against the wall and see what sticks method. And my resume stuck with a Social Security disability firm who hired me. And I proceeded to do disability law for the next 20 years, most recently at Social Security for almost 8 years.
So what does disability law mean? You represented disabled people for what, for example?
Yeah. So I represented, so before I worked at Social Security, I was a representative. So I represented people applying for Social Security disability. So people who were disabled for physical or mental health reasons and unable to work, I would prepare their cases, go in front of the judge, or file appeals as needed to help them get the benefits that they needed to be able to just survive life. Once I went to Social Security, then I worked for the judges and I wrote the decisions. So every time there's a hearing, a judge will issue a written decision to the person, whether or not they get approved, why they are approved, a summary of the evidence, all of that. So I was the one that wrote that decision, and then the judge would send it out. So that's what I did for about 8 years.
So your writing experience before you had this kind of awakening was writing legal documents, essentially, correct?
Yes. It was reading. I read hundreds, if not thousands, of pages of medical records in a day and summarized it and applied the law accordingly. So yeah, I've done a lot. The kind of writing I'm doing now may be newer, but I'm definitely not new to writing itself, just more technical.
So in dealing with people with disabilities who are applying for, this is SSI we're talking about,
yeah,
I guess.
SSI and SSDI, yeah.
So you must have dealt with an awful lot of people who were in pain, who were suffering, who had all kinds of stuff going on, right?
Yeah. I mean, physical and mental. Some clients were easier to work with than others. And what I've learned is people who are suffering can be a little difficult to work with. So it definitely, I had to develop a skill set on how to help people when they were at their lowest and their worst, to help guide them and work through them not being at their best.
Well, so you must have helped tons of people.
I'd like to think so. I hope so. I know that I've had, I've definitely won some cases so over the years. So hopefully that helped people, go about their lives in a more normal way.
Did every one of these cases end up before a judge, or are there just some that are slam dunks and they're automatic?
So by the time they got to me, in the way I worked for a legal services of New Jersey, actually, so by the time it got to me, it was already at the hearing level. So we had paralegals who worked at the earlier level, so the slam dunk cases would have already been approved.
Oh, I see.
So every case I had, I mean, some I could get away with writing a brief and not having a hearing, but every case I had was at least at the hearing level when it came to me.
So did you go to court also, or no?
Court is a very formal term. It's at their hearing room, so it's
Okay,
much
I got you.
smaller. There's no, it's just a very small room with a judge and a court reporter and usually a vocational expert and me and my client. So it's a very small close because of the nature, the sensitive nature of the it's people's medical information. So it tends there so it's very confidential. Things
Sure.
are kept on a much closer level.
So, did you have this kind of nascent, like eating away at you, that you said, I really don't want to do this? I guess at what point did you decide that, I'm done with this? Or did you start really seriously considering leaving the law and becoming like a full-time writer?
So for me, I'm very much, I've always been a person of you walk the path you're supposed to. I mean, obviously I went to law school because I didn't know what to do. So I always did, what was next. And I never really thought about what I wanted in the sense of, I could be anything, even though I was never told I couldn't be anything. It never occurred to me. I didn't know how to think about it in that way. And so I always felt like I was good at my job. But I didn't love my job. And I was surrounded by people who were passionate about, learning more and bettering their abilities. And I did a good job and I kept aware of everything I need to be kept aware of, but I was never taking that extra step. And I thought it was just, I'm not an ambitious person and I'm happy just doing what I'm doing. But I was never really excited about it. And then last Jan so as a federal employee, last January was not the best time to be a federal employee. And it got to the point where I didn't know if I was gonna have a job in the next week because everybody was just being laid off
Yeah,
randomly, and
sure.
we had no idea what if when we were gonna get hit, if we were gonna get hit. And I had to decide what I was going to do because if I lost my job, was I going to go back to being a representative? I didn't really want to do that. So if I wasn't going to do that, what else was I going to do? So I actually started working with a career coach last January. And we worked for about 9 months. At one point, I was just on LinkedIn, like looking at every job description that might be interesting, because that was how I kind of narrowed it down. And then over the course of our conversations, she asked me what I love to do, and I said I love to read. As you can see, I have all my books behind me. But so and I said it would be great to get paid to read, which but anyway, over the course of the conversation, she pulled out of me that I always wanted to write a book. But I never thought I could. To me, it was like winning the lottery, writing a book. It was all equally unlikely for me. And she challenged me on that. And I ended up doing like an online class where nobody was going to read anything I wrote, just to see if I, a creative writing class, to see if I could write. And I started writing and turned out I was pretty good at it and I loved it and I just kept going. And then my health, I have, various issues with my health, with chronic illness, and it was getting exacerbated by my job. Not knowing specifically it was my job the problem. Now that I've quit my job, I know that it was definitely the problem because I've improved dramatically in the last few months since I've not been at that job
Oh, is
anymore.
that right? So your job actually contributed to your ill health, whatever that was.
My symptoms have improved dramatically in the last few months,
Let
but I
me
didn't
ask you
know.
this. A lot of people on this podcast talk about how they didn't think they had permission to do
Yes.
painting, singing, whatever. Why did you think that?
I don't have a good answer because it wasn't necessarily discouraged. I never had family tell me I couldn't do it. I just never thought of myself as a creative person. I never thought of myself as a writer. I remember growing up thinking my brother was the creative writer. I was always good at writing like the technical essays. So I think that's why I kind of went to law school, because it was like in that comfort zone of I'm good at writing the academic kind of essays. And my brother, who is in the music field, is the creative one. And I think that I kind of had that dichotomy in my head for no reason other than that's what happens when you're growing up and your brain does things to you. And so I always danced and I did choreography. But even despite that, I never thought of myself as a creative person. I don't know why. It just didn't seem like that was me. I wasn't that person. And I never challenged it until the last year or so.
That's really common. You know, it really is. Some people call it, it kind of borders on imposter syndrome, you know, like yeah. This is not who I am. And, you know, the question always is, who says, you know, yeah. you define that for yeah. God's sake. All right. So are your parents still with us?
Yep.
So yeah. How do they feel about you tossing being a lawyer for, you know, a writer?
Well, my dad is supportive, but he is having a very hard time with me saying I'm not a lawyer anymore. Oh, he keeps really? Saying, but you're always going to be a lawyer. And I said, well, my bar license is currently inactive, so I am not currently a lawyer.
He's not he's not an attorney?
No, he was a hospital administrator.
Okay.
But I think he's just always, for some reason, wanted an attorney in the family.
My daughter, the lawyer, for Christ. Yeah, hey, I get
exactly.
it, man.
Yeah. Although I think he was picturing more like big law, not, you know, nonprofit, but that's okay. But so he's supportive. He's never told me not to do it, but I can tell that he would, you know, he's a little sad that I
left. Well, you know, you were a lawyer for 20 years. That's a career, yeah. you know, that's yeah. like, you know, and I do get the once a lawyer, always a lawyer thing. I just wrote a book in which I said, once a journalist, always a journalist. You know, I haven't been active in the news business since 2007 when I left that business. But, you know, I watch TV and my wife will tell you, I yell at the TV. I executive produce CNN from my frickin' chair in my den. And I'll always think that way. Even the jobs I had after I left the news business, I approached like a journalist. So I do kind of get that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have that same thing going on but you don't deal with clients anymore, right?
So it's definitely infiltrated my thought process and how I approach writing. I don't think I am aware of it. It's something that I kind of noticed more recently, but I think in the structure of a legal argument, even when I'm writing like my personal essays,
really?
But I think it really helped. Even just when I wrote my novel, I think it helped me sustain the long, you know, the plot, the arc in the long form, because I understand how to make an argument over the course of I've written 50 page briefs before and I had to sustain an argument through the whole 50 page. So I've had practice, you know, doing long form, writing in not quite as long as a novel, but I think that it transferred those skills.
Your Substack is, it looks like to me, it's all personal essays yes. pretty much.
And fiction. I do personal essays and fiction.
Right. And so where does that analytical background of writing, you know, legal papers and stuff, where does that come in when you're writing a story about a personal, you know, an awareness or an awakening or an emotion?
I think it's a combination of, I got my BA in psychology. So a lot of my writing tends to skew psychology, either psych theory or neuropsych or cognitive psych, but in a very accessible way. I always use metaphor and things like that to make it easier to understand. But I think the psych background and the legal background has trained me to see things more analytically, more objectively. It pulls me out from whatever it is. Even though what I'm writing about is deeply personal, I'm able to pull out of it and see what my argument is and understand the mechanics of what I'm trying to write. Even if I'm not consciously doing it, I find, because sometimes I write and I just have a craving to write and I don't know what I'm going to write about. And I just sit and start writing. And all of a sudden I have a whole essay in front of me. So it's not intentionally done, but when I go back and read, I can see how I analyzed what I was writing about without even realizing it. I think it's just deeply ingrained in my brain at this point.
Do you write for yourself or for an audience?
Yes. I do both. I started my Substack because I knew I wanted to write, and I am, from what I see, you know, they always say you need to have a social media following and all that, but I'm not like a TikToker or an Instagrammer. Like, that's just not me. And so I discovered Substack, and I thought that that could be a good way to, initially it was to just get myself a platform just so that I can start getting my name out there. But since I've started writing, I've fallen in love with it. I just, it's very therapeutic. I have found that I understand myself in a way now than I never have. Every essay that I've written, I have discovered something that I hadn't realized about myself, because it forces you to think about things in a very different way than you do when you're in the middle of it. And so I've it's really been a personal journey. But then I've also connected with other creators on Substack, sensitive, deeply thinking, deeply feeling people who all kind of connect with each other. So it's and so I write for them because I think that I have something to contribute to the conversation too.
And your Substack is called Molten Crystal?
Yes.
Okay. So if people want to look you up, they can find it that way. So let's talk about ghostwriting now. So this is something that you've started getting into. And by ghostwriting, tell me exactly what that means.
So that can mean a lot of things. But for me personally, I love memoir. I have signed a contract with an agency to do do contract work. They do memoir hybrid. So it's kind of like a business book, but from a memoir perspective. Mm-hmm. So you tell the person's story while also kind of using their business model within it in some capacity.
Sure.
Which is fine. And I mean, I enjoy doing that. I'm working on one right now on real estate, and I was able to kind of put my stamp on it, because he's teaching people things, and I was talking to him about the different types of learners. And so, you know, there's different, you know, there's people who learn by doing, learn by seeing, you know, so I made sure that we hit every type of learner within the book, which is something that, you know, he hadn't thought about doing. So I was able, even though it's a field that I'm not particularly super knowledgeable in, I was still able to put a stamp on from myself, you know, from my own things that I care about that matter to me into the book too. But memoir is really where I would love to just run, because I love telling stories. I love hearing, I mean, I think that this is where my disability law experience comes in, because I interviewed people for 20 years about their lives. And granted, that was a different context, but I know how to get somebody's story out of them, and I know how to shape it. And I think that everybody has something to say, and it's important to get your story out there. So
you say on your website that you describe yourself as a trauma-informed interviewer. What does that mean?
That is a fancy way of saying that I know how to handle people's trauma with care. And I think that, given, again, my years of experience as a disability attorney, I dealt with people's trauma every single day. And even before that, I worked, like I said, in law school, I was working with kids I was doing child advocacy with kids in the foster system. Before that, in undergrad, I was working for a nonprofit that paired women who experienced domestic violence with pro bono attorneys. So I would do intakes with these women and have to listen to their stories, you know, and then my own experience of working through stuff for myself and my therapy, and because I'm very deep into all the therapy. And so it's, I can handle people's hard parts of their lives, and I can do it in a way that makes them feel comfortable and cared for and safe. And then that's not always an easy thing to do. And as I said before, when people are hurting, they can not always be the most at their best. And so learning how to work through, to see through what somebody's pain, and understand that that's what's coming forward, and help them express themselves despite that pain, I think is really important for this work.
Do you see potential clients as being exclusively people who have lived with disabilities or addiction, or could it be anybody? I mean, could it anybody, be some schlepper who wants his or her life story out there but doesn't know how to do it?
I'm happy to write your story. yes, I don't want to only do those kinds of stories because okay. I think that there are so many stories out there. Sure. I just think that a lot of times with memoir, there tends to be a harder part. And I think when people are looking for somebody to help them tell their story and they have that harder part, that they want to make sure that they're with somebody who can handle that. Yeah. But like I said, I'm writing a real estate book right now. So that has nothing to do with any.
Is that book about an individual? Is it somebody's life story or is it about?
It's a business book for them. It's a business book for them to as a companion to what they do in their regular life.
I gotcha.
About real estate investment.
You know, I just wrote a nonfiction group of stories about my life in broadcasting, and the whole idea of deciding whose name are you going to use, what circumstances are you going to outline very specifically, because there are going to be people who recognize themselves because they ain't dead yet.
Yep.
Have you come across that? Or are you still in the early parts of your career? But that's something that I dealt with just recently in the book that I just finished writing.
I haven't dealt with that yet in a book. I have dealt with that in my own personal essay writing mm-hmm. because there are things that, I could write about that I don't because I just because exactly that, like there's just some things that I don't know that other people would feel comfortable with me saying publicly. So,
sure.
I try to be very careful. Everything I write, I'm very conscious to make it my perspective and my experience and yeah. leave other people's stuff out of it. Not to say that I never mention that there are other people in my life, but I try to keep everything from my perspective for that exact reason. So I do think it is tricky, but I do think there are ways around it. You just have to be careful with it.
Yeah, well, that smacks of integrity, you know, and I think that's important when you're writing other people's stories. I found that, you know, the few people who I did name, I got their permission first off, and everything I wrote about them was positive. So why would they care anyway?
Yeah.
But, you know, for example, the guys who fired me along the way, I didn't name them. If they read it, they'll probably know who they are. But I guess I didn't feel like I wanted to trash and do like a scorched earth thing. I really wanted to talk about kind of me and what the effects on me were. And it sounds like that's kind of what your aim is as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Did I see somewhere that you have written a novel or you're in the process of? So tell me about that. Where are you with that?
So the novel was the trigger to everything that I'm doing because that was what sparked it. Was I said I wanted to write a book and my career coach pushed me to try, and I wrote some short stories. I wrote two novelettes that I combined into a compilation that I published on my Substack as a serial. I did a chapter at a time. They started as a test. Can I write creatively? Mm. Can I write creatively for more than, you know, a couple pages? And it turned out I could. So the book was always the goal. The rest of this has been kind of, I don't want to say falling into it, but because it's been a very conscious choice of walk down this path, but I didn't know about it. I didn't know that this was an option for me for a while. So the book has been the whole impetus to all of it. So I finished my first draft my third draft now. And I am about to start querying to agents. I actually have a partial request from an agent that's been out for a few months. I had signed up for a writer's workshop where you could pay to pitch to an agent. And when I signed up, I thought my book would be done because I had no idea I'd be doing all these other things. And my book was not done. And you're not really supposed to pitch an unfinished fiction manuscript. But I decided I would do it anyway, just for the experience. And she ended up asking for a partial request of the pages. So I'm sitting and waiting for that. So we'll see. But I'm about to start querying on that. And that book is essentially me and two characters. It's two sisters in their 40s, alternating points of view. And essentially they're trying to figure themselves out. They're trying to understand, you know, they're questioning where they are in their lives, not because of any trauma or sickness or divorce, which is what I see a lot that's usually mm-hmm. the impetus, something like that. This is purely internal. One sister receives a letter from a time capsule because it's her 25th high school reunion. And she sees this younger version of herself and goes, what happened to her? I don't have, you know, my life is just blah now. And so she ends up trying to go retrace her her history by visiting old moments in her life. And then the other sister is a photographer who works corporate, but she gets this opportunity for a personal exhibit, and she has to try to do both. And so she has to just end up choosing between practical versus passion. And so there's bits of me in both of them, but it really was inspired. It was very easy to write because I felt very connected to these characters.
My next question was, how much of you is in this book? Because, you know, especially for a first-time novelist, writing about yourself one way or the other is like, you know, the key to gold.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's definitely pieces of me in both of them. I mean, they're different than me in a lot of ways, but they're very much me in a lot of ways too, just different parts of me in each sister.
That's great. So what are you writing now? Are you writing another,
well,
you have right your eyes writing, on another novel, or are you
writing? Right now I'm writing a query letter. No. My stepdad, his father was a cab driver in New York City for 20, 30 years. And in the 80s and I don't know exactly which years, but he's essentially Mel Brooks, you know, another version of Mel Brooks. He was a Brooklyn guy who had quite a sense of humor, really fun. And he wrote his book. It's 500 pages. It's a ream of copy paper that he wrote on a word processor.
Wow.
And my stepdad had asked me to like tweak it and publish it or something. And so what I told him was, I have to read it first to see. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. That's my next project. But it's going to have gold in it just because, you know, it's all his stories. And
yeah,
I know
sure.
Stories. So depending on how the writing reads, I'll either, you know, help it become a polished version of itself, or if it's more stories that I can use, then I might end up doing fiction using his stories, and then, you know, obviously doing like a foreword dedicated to him and make sure that he gets all his credit. But so I'm not entirely sure which direction that's going to go yet, but that's what I'm looking at as my next project.
Cool. Well, you've got a running start as a career on a career as a writer. I wish you all the best with that. So we can find you at laurenreisner.com.
Yes.
Right. This is you. Are you on, you're on various social media as well or no?
Mostly laurenreisner.com and my Substack, Molten Crystal. That's mostly where you'll find me.
All right, cool. So, and if anybody wants to, you know, pick your brain about maybe doing, having you ghostwrite their story, that would be where they would start, right?
Yes. Yep.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck with this. I have trouble writing my own stories. I don't know how good I would be at writing other people's stories for them. So I admire the fact that you're doing that. And, you know, I wish you all the best with that.
Thank you so much.
Lauren Reisner, I really appreciate you joining me here, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.